gonna erupt. They're gonna bust loose. Right? Yeah, they're gonna do it. They're gonna bust loose.
They're a powder keg juggernaut.
Okay. Average Joe conversation with average guys. Tyler and Wes with Walk the Plank.
All right, welcome back to Walk the Plank Sports. This is the hot, humid desert edition.
Baseball weather.
Yeah, it's really, really hot. It feels like two-a-days out here, and I know all you remember two-a-days. Let's see, what happened? Out of nowhere, actually, I don't think it's out of anywhere. Chris Carter, Ray Lewis, they were told to walk plank.
Yep, ESPN got rid of those. Man, they're
I think they're trying to do this, clean up their image. That's my take on ESPN.
Well, I thought they were pretty good analysts. I mean,
they're great analysts, but there's a reason, there's a politically incorrect reason that they did it. But yet they're gonna go bring in Randy Moss.
Yeah.
So.
I
don't know what's going on with that, but anyway, I just wanted to bring that up real quick before we go into what we're going to go into, which is college baseball. It's been very interesting. A lot of different scenarios can take place. The SEC West, it seems like the entire country is looking dead at that division in that conference.
I mean, the SEC West alone could have three super seeds, or national seeds, I should say.
Yeah.
If the committee allowed it.
If they allowed it, yeah.
And but so could the East with South Carolina, Florida, and Vanderbilt. So, I mean, that could be, you know, 6 to 8 national seeds if the committee allowed it, which they won't. But, I mean, that's outrageous. That just shows you the strength of the baseball in the South.
I think it's going to boil down, because you're going to have a three-headed dragon in the a four-headed dragon and no three in the West with State, A&M, and Ole Miss. LSU I think is pretty much out of that for the most part.
Well, the SEC race, yeah, but I think they still host.
Now they will get a host, but I'm talking about a national seed.
They're out of the national
they're
seed
out that, I'm sorry viewers, I meant national seed. LSU was out.
They lost that when they lost at Ole Miss 2 or 3. State, I think, will win the West. Texas A&M has a hard 2 series left at USC, which is like number 4 in the nation, number 5 in the nation.
Yeah.
Then versus Ole Miss, which, you know, top 10, depending on what poll you look at, it's between 6-8, 10.
A&M don't have it easy. That's what we're trying to say.
No, not at all.
Because A&M, at the end of the season, they're going to have to play 2 regional teams.
And possible super regional teams. And,
oh, there's no doubt, South Carolina.
And Mississippi State has at Auburn, which is the worst team in the SEC by far, and then Arkansas. But if Arkansas is a trick game for State, and Wes and I've been saying this for months now, if Arkansas can find any pitching for the weekend, they could easily slip up and win that series because they've got bats like A&M does.
Pitching has killed that team.
And clean up the errors a little bit and get a couple guys step up pitching-wise, that series could very well be a tough one for State. I think State wins that series, but I'm saying don't be surprised if Arkansas comes from nowhere and, you know, beats State 2 out of 3. I don't think it will happen, but don't be surprised if it does.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, but at the beginning of the season, Tyler and I were discussing baseball. This is really dead on to what we were expecting.
Yeah.
LSU was the only downfall. We, you know, Tyler and I were saying at the beginning of the season LSU was going to be a perennial power. I really don't know what happened with that team. Maybe you can attribute the youth to it, but that's no excuse in my opinion, because Mississippi State is very young and look at what they're doing. And you know who my MVP for Mississippi State is right now? It's Mangum.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. That's
It is probably not. It's not down. Dakota. It's not Dakota. It's Mangum.
No, it's Mangum. And Mangum is probably hands down freshman of the year.
Freshman of the year throughout baseball.
Well, I was talking about SEC, but yeah, possibly. Because I think he's hitting over 435 batting average, and he's.
No, I think he's hitting over 420, and that's what Will.
At 435.
Will Clark.
As a freshman.
Yeah, Will Clark was his record or something.
This guy has come in and he plays like a junior or senior, but he's only a freshman. If he can avoid the sophomore slump, his sophomore and junior year should be really. If I was to say thing, I would really look forward to.
Tell you what, it makes me proud because he's a Jackson product. He went to Jackson Prep, right down the street. He's representing Jackson very well. And that goes to show you the strength of Mississippi Private
well, you know
High
who
School
his
Association.
Uncle is, don't you?
I know exactly who his uncle is. Everybody does.
Well, I don't think a lot of people do because I talked to people about it and they didn't realize his uncle.
Well, it's a weird. You know what? We can touch on that real quick and we'll go into a break and then come back and go over the whole baseball breakdown. And that's that. Okay, his dad played at Alabama.
Yes.
Jake. And Jake's brother was all pro, all world. Tight end Chris Mangum, who played at Ole Miss, and then
how many of you really knew that though?
That I don't think a lot of people knew that at all because they've got out. It's like my family. My brother went to Bama, played at Bama, grew up a State fan.
Grew up a State.
My dad, and you know all of us went to Ole Miss, and my mom went to State. So it's kind of. It's really weird. It's you know Christmases are pretty cool at my house.
Oh yeah.
You know, but so Chris Mangum, he played in the league what 9-10 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Absolute monster. And I'll tell you what. And for the viewers, how long do you think that Jake will be at Mississippi State? I give it one more year, and he's pro.
Well, he can't leave until after his junior year. Now he's
Freshman, right?
He's a true freshman.
True freshman. Interesting.
So he'll be there. You know, the rest of this year, next year, and the year after that. Year after that, if he keeps on the pace he's on now, he'll be a very high draft pick. And I think State fans will be very proud of him. But anyway, let's wrap up this section, and we'll get back to more baseball since we get back.
Cool? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm cool with that. Right. It's hot.
Peace.
Tyler and Wes with Walk the Plank.
All right, we're back from our break and with Walk the Plank Sports, and we're just going to dive right off into it with college baseball. Basically, we're going to throw out what our predictions are, what we've got gathered from Baseball America, touch on it. Tyler, what have you got
for
us? Yeah,
if you followed us throughout any length of the show, you know that's what we go by is Baseball America. And after looking over it last night, the new projections came out, I think, yesterday. And I should have wrote that date down. I overlooked it, and that's my mistake. Baseball America has Florida the number one overall seed. But across the bracket for them is USM. I will go ahead and tell you that Baseball America projects all three Mississippi teams to host a regional.
which is about right.
Yeah, I mean, Mississippi takes their baseball seriously. I mean, Delta State just won their tournament championship.
Fighting over I love you.
They won their tournament championship this afternoon. I listened to that this afternoon.
Now, what's a powerhouse we have in the Mississippi schools? Go ahead. What
but Florida's number overall seed.
Obvious.
South Carolina, who we talked about
by the way, viewers, Tyler and I here at Walk the Plank, we have South Carolina as our World Series team.
Yes, we do. Well, we got several World Series teams.
But I think that's going to be the strongest.
South Carolina, I think, would be the College World Series winner pick by us.
Yeah, our pick.
They're number three overall seed. Texas A&M is number five, and Mississippi State's number eight. And they're linked up to the North Carolina State regional in Raleigh, North Carolina, which – I'll get into that a little bit later. Let's go to the Ole Miss regional first. They're matched up with Southeast Missouri.
There's always some kind of Missouri team in Oxford.
There it really is.
What is up with that?
I don't know. I don't think they're
And ULL or some.
Well, speaking of ULL, they're
some crap.
They're
like
number
that.
Two team.
that would make sense.
But the ULL team this year is not the ULL team of old. Oh, they've lost their head coach. You know, mm-hmm. That was getting them going so good 2 years ago. Their pitching getting there.
Missouri and ULL. That is about right.
And then California is number three seed.
Cali?
Cal.
All the way here. Okay, I'll take it.
And like I've been saying,
I'll take it. Let them play that small ball junk in Swayze.
I've been saying a couple weeks, I told West before the show, the Western, out West, their baseball teams are not that good this year. I don't think any of the West teams, UCLA, Cal, Oregon, who am I missing out West?
Ooh, Coastal? No, Coastal's on the east. Okay.
Yeah, Coastal Carolina's on the east. They're actually number, like 16 now. But anyway, none of the West teams, you get the picture, will host a regional and may not host a super. Will not host a super regional, which gives that one extra spot to another team, maybe in a Southeastern Conference. We'll get that a little bit later. But the Ole Miss regional, I think Ole Miss should easily win this regional. There's not a major power I'm concerned about in this regional. But they're matched up with the number six national seed in Florida State. So that could be a preview to the August game or September game.
Yeah.
In Atlanta.
I'm so sick of Florida State already.
I'm telling you.
But I think, man, those fans have come out of nowhere, man.
Yeah, they are. But I think Florida State Ole Miss would be a good super regional. I think Ole Miss could take that if their bats stay hot. They're so inconsistent. Take the Georgia series this past weekend. They look like world killers Friday and Saturday, but Sunday hitting. They lost their hitting again and lost 13-2.
Well,
pitching also went. So
you know what I'm excited about is the Mississippi State regional, because I know they're going to be a national seed, and I'm just curious as who they're going to host. Who have you got?
Well, Mississippi State would play the number 4 seed. Again, this is all projection. This is not, real.
But it's pretty solid, though.
But yeah, as some of Wes and I were discussing, the projections usually are dead on the host and super regional host. But you can throw teams in that certain region in a hat and just draw them out. So this the people in the regionals aren't probably going to be there.
So who's going to start?
Baseball America has Alabama State as the number 4 seed.
They'll blow them out.
Georgia Tech as the number 2 seed.
Georgia Tech's a small ball team.
And also Maryland, which is a decent team. If that was State, I would be kind of irritated being a national seed, but that's what you get for being the lowest national seed, which all goes back to what Wes and I have been harping on, RPI. That's why it matters. If you are a national seed, great, but you get the lower you are, the harder teams you have to play. I mean, if you got a Florida regional,
Georgia Tech is actually a tough team.
Yes, and so is Maryland.
Yeah, well Georgia Tech plays small ball, and they will put runners on the base.
But I believe State can make it out of that regional, but they cannot take an off day or have an off day, because they have an off day and lose a game, they do not have to pitch and get back in the winner's bracket. But if they were to win that, and I think they should, they would face the East Carolina regional.
All right. Well, who
North Carolina State regional, which East Carolina could win during that regional also.
So that would bring us to Southern Miss.
Southern Miss, which, like I said earlier, smashed up a pair across from the number 1 overall seed, Florida.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. See if Southern go down there and knock out Florida like State did earlier in the year.
So what do we got with Southern Miss?
But Southern Miss, and I would, ouch, is all I can say for Southern Miss. Their first game would be against Jacksonville, which should be a easy win for Southern Miss.
They'll blow right through.
Then you got your 2 seed, which is a team everybody knows about, Virginia. They've been in an NCAA finals, I think, the last 2 years, and won it 2 years ago.
Virginia is a sore subject in Mississippi.
It really is, and I'm sorry, Southern Miss fans. They go to USM or even come to State or Ole Miss. That's going to be a tough draw.
Virginia's got a rich history, man. They're a type of team that they turn it on, sort of like LSU. If you put LSU, I compare the two. You put LSU and Virginia in the regionals, they just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They literally come out of nowhere.
Yeah. And
it's pretty cool.
But like I said, it's all projection. I think the regional and national seeds are pretty much will be dead on. But like I said, the rest of the teams are just thrown in there because they're kind of close to that regional, and that's what the NCAA tries to do, is try to get certain teams that don't host close to where they are based from, so that way their fans can travel. It's all about the money with the NCAA. It really is. But as I was speaking to earlier about the West teams not getting a regional and not getting a super regional, that can, instead of doing 4 SEC national seeds, they could be 5. And I've already,
There's certainly 5 deserving.
Oh, there's more than 5. I think you got 6 teams.
You could, but I'm saying if you want to make a legitimate argument, 5.
I think Florida's a lot for national seed.
No way. They're there.
USC needs to win one of the last 2 series. And they've got an okay, semi-hard road. They play Texas A&M at home this weekend. Then they travel to Alabama next weekend. Alabama's decent because they got pitching. But I think USC should easily win one, if not both of those regionals. Texas A&M needs to win one of the last 2 series to lock up a national seed. This is the most difficult road, in my opinion, for a national seed, because they play at USC, like I said, this weekend, then host Ole Miss, which is Dr. Jekyll and Miss Hyde. I mean, that can be really good or really bad, depending on what their hitting does. I think they only need to win one of those to lock up a national seed, but I could see them losing both of those. Not likely, but I can see them losing that. And then Mississippi State, you have the easiest road to a national seed. Just win one of the last 2 at Auburn, which is by far the worst team in the SEC, and versus Arkansas at home, which we commented on earlier. You need to win one of those, if not both, just because they're lower RPI teams.
So do you think the SEC tournament will have any will it help certain teams get the national seed, or will it not even?
Yeah, it could. It could very well determine the national seed. If, you know, say, you know, Ole Miss goes.
But Ole Miss is a bubble team for a national seed. So what you're saying is, if Ole Miss wins the SEC tourney, they get the national seed?
Yeah, more than likely.
That's than what likely. I'm getting at. This is the baseball, man. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, this, like I said, this is all right now. I mean, Wes, and if you're on Facebook or on a Smack page I'm a part of, I put my projections from, you know, last week on there, and they're not the same. Well, they're kind of the same, but not really the same of this week. But anyway, Ole Miss needs to win 5 of the last 6 games, not counting the SEC tournament. This is just regular season. Become back in the
pitcher
for a national seed. Losing that last game to Georgia really hurt Ole Miss.
But they still won the series.
They did win the series, which is
it hurt them, but they moved up 2 spots.
But you also need Vanderbilt to lose. They play Louisville, which is number 3 in the nation, this week. And then they go to Florida.
Louisville is still number 3 in the country, and people said they were going to fall off the planet.
Yeah.
They're still number 3,
then they
guys.
Go to Florida, which is the consensus number 1 team.
Yeah.
So Ole Miss, State, and maybe A&M need Vandy to lose those games. So you're a big Louisville Cardinal fan and Gator Chomp the rest of the way throughout this week if you're one of those 3 teams, because Vanderbilt could easily – if they do well this week, could jump all those teams.
Vanderbilt's because a spoiler. They're a spoiler
team. Because if they win, say they win 2 or 3 versus Florida and beat Louisville, that's a major jump in the polls for them.
That's not far-fetched, man. This is Vandy. This is Vandy we're talking about. They could go in there and ruin everybody.
I mean, Florida RPI is the 1. Louisville RPI is 2. I mean, they played Auburn last weekend.
Yeah.
So they're more likely going to win that. So they'll make a major jump in the polls and also the RPI, which will jump several teams.
I mean, we're looking at Vandy, who was a home run away from beating to winning the series at what, A&M?
I didn't watch much of that series. I watched the last game with the A&M pitcher.
I know he was outstanding. Oh, my God.
No-hitter and was an error away from a perfect game. But anyway, that's it for this segment. We're going to wrap it up and on next segment.
Be back for our third and final segment, guys.
Peace.
Tyler and Wes with Walk the Plank.
All right, our final segment. We are back. Walk the Plank, and we just got a breeze. It feels a little bit better. What we're going to do in this final segment, we're going to touch on 2 things. We're going to touch on boxing, which is, as you know, if you follow, my favorite sport ever. But right now, my second favorite, which is football. What have we got with transfers, man? This is huge from what people...
Well, Ole Miss, I guess this is where you want this to come from. Ole Miss had several linebacker transfers in this offseason. And we've been talking, the transfers actually work out. I would say at least the first half of the first year, no. SEC is so hard to get through, or so hard to get used to. I can see him maybe come on middle of the season, late in the season, the first year. I mean, for Ole Miss fans, DJ Jones, you know, he really didn't start getting to his potential until the end of this past season.
I haven't seen a transfer really take over and actually have a huge impact in a long time.
The one I could think of.
Unless it's like a string fella or something, which he sat out a year.
Yeah, he sat out a year. But, and I keep going back to Ole Miss because Ole Miss is what I really know. The last transfer I remember seeing making an instant impact was Jeremiah Mazzoli.
Mazzoli was a Heisman front runner, though. That's kind of.
But he played as a quarterback position.
Yeah. And you know, he put up better numbers than Cam Newton.
Yeah.
With a three-win team.
Cam Newton, he didn't come on until the 4th, 5th, 6th game of the season.
And won the national championship. And a Heisman, and got a church out of the deal.
Yeah, but we're not going to that. It's speculation. But, yeah, I mean, transfers, they're going to take a little while to pan out. They've got to get used to the game speed, get used to the physicality, get used to the schemes. I mean, so many things you've got to learn on the fly, and that takes a little time. And if it's not the first half of the year, they're mainly come on the last, you know, their senior season and look like world beaters. And you're asking, where did this guy come from? Well, he was a transfer, and he had to learn everything and get used to the SEC speed and get used to the SEC
I think it has a lot to do with the playbooks. They have to learn the schemes of the play. It's not so much their physicality.
Well, the speed is different.
Yeah.
The physicality is different.
Well, they have to learn the...
The plays are different. I mean, the SEC versus, I guess, the WAC, Western Athletic Conference.
SEC versus any conference.
It's night and day. It really is.
It's right beneath. I call it JUCO for NFL.
Yeah, it's NFL Junior, which is kind of like the SEC. It's like a boxing match, if you may.
Yeah, it really is. Speaking of that, can we cut into
it? Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I am excited about this because I'm actually upset about it, but I'm excited about it. Conor McGregor and him and Floyd Mayweather have this thing going on. Obviously, they want to fight, and the big thing is it good for the people? Well, all it is, in my opinion, is a payday for Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, because I'm going to tell you, it's not good for the people. It's going to be a very boring match.
As all Mayweather fights are.
Yeah, it's going to be very boring. Conor McGregor is going to be throwing haymakers, and I would be shocked if he even landed one punch.
That's the way I would go into it, because I know Mayweather's scheme.
Mayweather's going to die. He's going to dodge. He's going to wear Conor out without even Conor hitting him.
Yeah. Well, I think Conor's really going to wear himself out, but don't need no haymakers. But I would do the same thing. I would, you know, go in with the prayer of knocking Mayweather out, because all Mayweather's going to do is jab you and hit you and
run
and get those points. That's why how he wins is by points. Boxing was not – this is why I hate the point system. Boxing was not created for points. Boxing was created to beat the ever-living stuff out of you.
Boxing was created to knock you out and not bend your arm. And this is the reason.
I bet they went, 9,900 rounds sometimes like that, didn't they?
Yeah, they went till they killed you damn near. What I'm saying is that the reason it's going to be somewhat boring for the audience is that Mayweather's going to have to back the fight, because McGregor has only gone 3 or 4 rounds or 5 rounds, and if max in his entire career. I don't think McGregor realizes he's going to have to box this guy that's never been knocked out in his life for 12 rounds. That ain't happening.
Mayweather's going to throw body shots.
Mayweather's going to play with him come round 6.
Body
just
shots.
Just play with him.
And Conor can't throw those knees. He's going to just have to, you know, duck in and take those body shots.
I'll give an example of this. When Roy Jones Jr., who's retired, came out of retirement and fought this MMA fighter, he just wore him out. These guys are not okay. And I'm gonna switch gears on it, because you see where I'm coming at with this. Mayweather's gonna win, and they're both gonna book.
And I hate it, man. I hate it.
I hate it too. But we shall see. With that being said, I'm gonna close on this. UFC 198. My girl is in. Cyborg is gonna fight, from what I heard. They haven't said who she's gonna fight. I caught wind of it, and it's gonna be interesting. It's going to be interesting how Dana White plays his card out, because I think that Cyborg is absolutely just going to murder somebody unless it's a boxer that comes in there like Holly Holm and they actually stand up and fight.
That'd be a good fight. I mean, which I guess kind of points to sign Ronda maybe on her downswing or out totally, because he's adding all these big-name female fighters.
He's trying to save the women's sport, exactly. Good point. Good point, man.
And that's just me thinking out loud. That's something I heard. That's just me thinking out loud. It just makes sense that if there's been all kind of speculation about Ronda, you know, wanting to start a family and quit UFC. And Ronda...
Speculation she's already started a family.
Yeah. It looks like he's trying to add more name to the women's division, yeah, and UFC.
Well, I tell you what. With that being said, my final question is to you and the viewers... Before we close this out, who have you got winning if McGregor and Mayweather happen in what round, and how does it happen?
I think Mayweather wins, and I think goes to the full fight, because I don't think Mayweather's going to knock him out. I think, like you said, he's going to toy with them. But like I said earlier, if I was Conor McGregor, I would be throwing everything I had the first 2 or 3 rounds to knock Mayweather out, because Mayweather is not going to knock you out. He's going to jab, jab, dance, jab, jab, left. Jab, jab, dance. I mean, it's boring as ever to watch his fights, but he's good at what he does, and that's why he makes so much money. That's why I think he's undefeated, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason for that.
Well, here...
But it's boring to watch and it's not boxing.
Well, here's my final take on it, and then we're going to end the segment. I think that they're going to put on a show for the first three or four rounds, and then McGregor is going to end up doing what he always does and wink his eye and talk smack, and it's going to make Mayweather mad, and then Mayweather is going to be forced to box at that point, and I think it's going to go into the seventh round, and you're going to see McGregor lose his composure, and you're going to see McGregor hit the mat with body shots. He's going to wear him out, and he's going to crunch over and basically call it a day. And that's what I see happening. I'm seeing him getting abused so bad that they might throw in the towel.
But I will close in saying,
because I don't think McGregor's going to quit.
McGregor, I am pulling for you because I want to see that dude get knocked
out.
Oh,
I do too. I do too, but it just ain't going to happen.
We'll see. Maybe we could try to work something out, and then out of that match, get live from somewhere.
Yes. Yes. That is a good one, and we've got a couple in mind. So, we're going to wrap this up and come back next week.
Yeah, next week. Baseball should be a little bit clearer.
A lot clearer.
The NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. We got a lot of things we can cover next week, and we look forward to it. So, see you next week. Peace.